Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Amen. In the first service, I sensed that there was a number of people that came in that were dry, had not sensed the presence of God in a while in their lives. They're missing the anointing and the presence of the Lord. And I was quickened by the Holy Spirit to remind myself what day it was. So I got my smartphone out and I looked, and it was the day of Pentecost. This is the day of Pentecost. And I heard the Lord say that 2,000 years ago that he poured out his Spirit. And I am still pouring out my Spirit upon those that are thirsty, those that are dry. Everybody just begin to pray right now. Lord God, bless these people, Lord. Bless us all with a fresh anointing. I'm sensing in my spirit, there's people in this room that have known the power of his anointing in the past, that have been dry, that have not sensed it in a day, in years. And Father, I just thank you right now today. The Lord says that I will empower you. I will do what I've done years past with those people that are mine, that come to me, that are hungry. And I will put my supernatural upon your natural. And you'll be able to do exploits. You'll be able to do what I've called you to be. And you will perform and do the supernatural amongst you, in your family, in your ministry, in your community, because of my Spirit upon you. So be filled today again. Know this, that I'm still pouring out my Spirit. I have never retracted it, but I will fill you again if you are hungry and if you are thirsty. And if you come to me with all your heart, says the Lord.
I sense the Lord saying that times of refreshing are here. Times of refreshing are upon us now. Can you sense it? Are you attuned to it? What are you looking for? What are you mindful of? If you're mindful of trouble and distress and depression and problems and what's negative, then that is what you will find. But if you're mindful of the presence of God, if you're mindful of his word, if you're mindful of his promises, you will sense that his presence is here. Times of refreshing are here now. All you have to do, you reach out your hand. The kingdom of heaven is nigh. The kingdom of heaven is here now. Reach out your hand and take hold of that which God has appointed for you at this time and this hour, because it's right here in your midst.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Good morning, Gateway. I hope you're having an awesome time in our service. I just want to squeeze in here for a minute and send you some love from Kathy and I. As you can see, we're not in the service with you there today. We're taking a few Sundays off to rest up. But of course, there are still plenty of great things taking place at Gateway. For example, today, Pastor Sam Beckworth will be bringing the Word of the Lord to us. Pastor Sam and his wife, Pastor Kim, are a treasured part of our extended church family. They come to us today from Clovis, California, where they oversee Faith Summit Church and where they're raising their two incredible daughters. The Beckworths are great servants of God who've blessed our church many times before. I'm proud to bring them back to you today. Gateway, I love you guys. I miss you all for sure. And looking forward to seeing you soon. Now, please, let's give a great welcome to Pastor Sam and Kim Beckworth.
Good morning. I love this church. I love this church. I love this church. I love you.
Me too.
I love this church. You are so special to us. This is always home. It's home for us. The first thing I wanted to say was, this is for somebody specific. It's probably for a few people. You feel that you're hidden. Nobody is seeing you. But the Lord says he sees you. That's all I have to say. He sees you. You're not hidden. You're not hidden. He sees you and he loves you. And also, for the pastor's wives, I want to honor the pastor's wives this morning. I'm a pastor's wife, but I'm also a pastor, and it gets hard sometimes. And it gets a little lonely. If you can grab your pastor's wife and hug on them, buy them a little something, buy a little flower, tell them that they're noticed, tell them you're praying for them, You know, they're 24/7 too with their husbands. You know, it doesn't stop. When you go to bed, sometimes we get phone calls in the middle of the night, and it doesn't stop. Sometimes I get woke up at 2 in the morning, and I'm praying for somebody, and I'm a little tired when I wake up. So sometimes we get a little wrapped up in ourselves, and we forget the work of the ministry. So be a blessing to a pastor's wife. Grab her. Tell her that you love her. Tell her that you're thinking of her. Tell her that she's not alone. And there's a couple ladies that do that here to me, and I don't forget it. And I look forward to coming because they always make their way to me, and they always give me a good word. And I don't forget it, and I take it home. So I love you, and I love this church very, very much. So.
Amen. You know, we want to just say this too. That's a great word. I just feel to add that agreement by just blessing you right now, even before we begin. Father, we want to thank you for this house, Lord, and this family, a vital family, Lord God, legitimate, planted by you. Father, in your heart, conceived before the foundations of the world, and each and every individual that is here right now represents you, but Father, is strategically and intentionally, lovingly placed in this family according to your good pleasure. I pray each and every one, as I agree with Kim, Lord God, would know that pleasure and they would know that delight, where they have felt hidden, Lord God, and maybe even hidden by some unintentionally, Father, certainly intended by the adversary. Father, you said those that felt like they were lost, their new name would be sought out, and they would know they are sought out by you. May your presence fill this house, Lord God, and be such an environment for your word to be planted, Lord God, in each and every heart to produce great fruit for your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You're blessed. Thank you, baby.
Okay, bye.
Okay, I'll see you later. Let's everybody see me help you down because I need to be perceived as a gentleman. Just kidding there. Good morning. I do want to just compliment my bride. In 1998, we were credentialed early in that year, and my wife became the children's pastor and kind of inherited a rather large ministry with about 60 teachers, which is a lot, and a few hundred children. And the only reason I was credentialed was because the pastors said, okay, Kim, you need to run the children's ministry. They knew her since she was very, very young at this larger church. And so they looked at me and I said, I'm not anointed to work in that area. I'll do anything. I'll serve. They go, no, we know you're not the one called to that, but it looks better if a husband and wife team are together in this area. I'm like, okay. So Lord healed me from that rejection early on in my life. And so anyhow, just honor my wife. And I want to honor, too, our pastors, your pastors, obviously, Pastors David and Kathy, and we bless them. I want to just tell you and encourage you, too, I don't think they called each and every one of you to ask your permission to go on a vacation. I understand that. But the fact that you are wholeheartedly behind your pastors, who are a pastor here to you and also pastors to other pastors like us, to get away, to spend some time, to get refreshed, to sleep, to eat, to watch movies, to sit on the beach, and to get recharged is so critical and so important. And I know that you're behind them in that. And so I just compliment you there. How many of you would say a good nap is spiritual? Raise your hand right now. Kanda basate. That's right. It is spiritual. So is a dessert every now and then. So is going to Gilroy Outlets every now and then. So is fasting and prayer and getting in the Word. All of those things are so critical and so important. And our pastors, the Canastracies, have determined they're going the long haul. Amen. And we need them to go the long haul. Isn't that right? So, Father, we just pray, bless Pastors David and Kathy as they're resting. We pray their food is blessed. We say no plague will come near their dwelling. Sickness will not come near them. No evil will befall them. You give your angels charge over them to keep them in all of their ways. I pray you would bless their fellowship, strengthen them together. Father, we pray blessing over them and eventually their flight home in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you excited for the word today? Amen. Well, we're going to get into that. If you have your Bibles or you have your outline, you're going to turn to Matthew chapter 13. I teased a little bit in the first service, and I said, I'm going to spend 41 minutes talking about product that I brought. And for the last minute, we're going to pray. They thought it was funny. You did not. And so that's all right. But there are a few things that are back there, some things on value. That's more of a guy message. You're an original as well. And guilt, condemnation, and shame skewering the three little pigs because they are obnoxious and we can't stand them. They try to dog many of us in the body of Christ. And last, I did a message that was based on the movie called The King's Speech. Some of you may have seen that. We have a DVD player that filters out all of the bad language, and that movie has a lot of bad language, so our DVD player was working hard that day. But I did one entitled The Christian's Speech about finding your voice in God. There's great significance inside of each and every one of us, and also learning how to draw the voice out of other people as well. Instead of shutting people down and not listening, Lord, help us to draw out the voice of one another. We can read together out of Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin in verse 53, and praise God, the Holy Spirit is the teacher, and our hearts are ready. Amen. Let's read together. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except where? In his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Everybody say honor. 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 One more time together. Honor. Honor. Now you've been in a series entitled Let's Talk. And one of your images, as you'll see on the website and so on, speaks of things like spirituality, growth, offense, attitudes, and relationships. And in keeping with this particular theme, I was impressed several months back as Pastor David and I had spoken. He asked me about this and I said, "Well, what's your theme?" He said, "We don't have it yet, but just preach whatever you feel." And impressed to share it. So this word had been rolling around for quite some time, and even before this theme was implemented. And so I want to talk a little bit about honor in relationships. We're going to use this passage with Jesus as our theme passage. We're going to use this setting of Jesus living in a familiar environment there in Nazareth. This passage begins with Jesus preaching all around Galilee. Miracles were taking place. Phenomenal parables were being spoken. And the Bible says he came back to his own country. He came back to his own peeps. He came back with the brothers and the sisters he grew up with, not only naturally, but his friends, more distant relatives, and people that watched him grow up since he was younger, around 7 years old and up. They were familiar with him. They knew him. They knew his dad and his mom, his brothers and sisters. They would have them over for dinner. They knew that he liked his hamburgers cooked well done, not with ground beef, but he preferred chicken or fish. They knew all of these kinds of things. He was going back home in a sense. And in this particular setting and environment is where we begin this particular message. God intends for honor to bring out the very best of what he's intended for the relationships that he has placed in our lives. We're going to define honor this morning. We're going to get the Bible's perspective about how it should fit in our lives. And as I mentioned about relationships, my heart and prayer is that this particular phrase I'm about to share would resonate within us the entire message. And it is this: honor welcomes the presence of Jesus. Amen. Let's say that together. Honor welcomes the presence of Jesus. Songs to the Lord will welcome his presence. The preaching of the word will welcome his presence. And in its own distinct and unique way, according to this passage, honor welcomes the presence of God so that he can display himself as being the Savior of the world and do those good works which God predestined for him, that many would believe and be saved. Honor is key. Honor is important in relationships. But it is fair to say, and I think we mostly agree, that we live in a society that does not promote honor. We live in a culture that does not value life the way that it once did. What God calls unlawful is lawful in our nation and in many people groups all around the world. And because of that lack of law or lawfulness, the Bible says that our hearts can grow cold because lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. And when this happens, one of the first things to go is a mutual affection and care and kindness and tenderness of heart and valuing that we call honor. This lack of honor shows itself perhaps the most in the way that we interact with one another and in the way that we interact in relationships. Now, you guys awake. I know you've got tomorrow off, right? But are we here this morning?
Yes.
We're down, right? Now, I want to ask, have you noticed there is more harshness now in the culture and in the world that we live in? There's more pain. There's more brashness. There's more attitudes. There's more frustration. There's more harshness. There's more rudeness. And Proverbs 30 speaks of a generation that does not honor. We, Kim and I, spent the last week praying and fasting and really seeking God in a secluded place in Southern California called Disneyland this past week. We were really trying to witness to this mouse who is surrounded by witchcraft. But we had a little inroad as I was eating a churro, thinking of strategies there to minister. But we were there several days, and one night we finished walking. Our feet were hurting so bad, our ankle, I mean, the whole thing. We made our way to one of the buses that takes us back to the hotel, and it was packed. I mean, there's like 50 people waiting for a bus that maybe fits 40. And tough life, right? I'm not complaining, I assure you. It was a wonderful time. We had a great time together. But we're tired, we're wore out, and everybody else was too. And a particular woman, I didn't notice it, but she kind of went a little more towards the front of the line when everybody else was doing this. She had a little baby, so she found a little part of a bench there to be able to sit down. So the bus pulls up, and she gets up with her baby and makes her way to get into the bus. And this man, probably 45 years old, a real big guy, begins to verbally berate her and literally abuse her verbally. Who do you think you are? You didn't wait in this line, you know, and he just gets all over this woman's case holding a one-year-old baby. Who in the world is going to chew out a woman who's holding a baby for trying to sit down on a bench and get on the bus so she can sit down with her baby? I mean, what's up with this world that we live in, right? Yeah. The worst thing above all of that was this guy who was verbally abusing this lady was wearing a Dodgers jacket and a Dodger hat. I said, brother, you are not representing, man. I'm a Dodger fan. You guys are Giants fans. I was displeased with him. I think the anointing just totally left the building right now. But I mean, where does that come from? I mean, that is off the hook. Of course, by the time she sat down, I realized her husband was about a 6'5" brother wearing an Alabama football t-shirt. He looked like he played for Bama. He said one word to that guy, and this he lifted his hands up. He goes, "That's enough. No mas." Well, the Lord's raising his hands also. Say, we're not going to live that way. You may be in a culture that way, but we're going to bring in and cultivate a culture of honor among the family of God in this house and in our lives as well. The Lord's taking us up a notch in that glory. Amen. We need it, don't we? You know, people have been let down by others in authority. Parents, spiritual leaders and teachers. That affects our heart towards honor as well, doesn't it? Perhaps you didn't have honor modeled in your natural family as you were raised up. And Paul speaks to an immature Corinthian church and says, I'm going to teach you how to be a member in the family of God. There are ways that we interact respectfully one with another. We just don't shoot from the hip, say whatever we want to say. I'm going to be me, and everybody else, you just need to get used to it because this is how I am. Paul says, no, 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 I'm coming as your spiritual father to say, no, we don't. I'm going to teach you a way to interact. Isn't that important? You guys excited this vacation weekend of hearing this edifying word today, right? Maybe some of us have not been celebrated and honored. And it's like, well, how do I then reciprocate? How do I demonstrate honor when you feel like I haven't had that demonstrated to me? Well, God wants all of us to develop and to grow in this virtue called honor. I want to begin by defining this term to you a little bit and hopefully find where we fit in our particular lives and how Jesus wants to bring us to a place, a greater place of honor. The word for honor in the Greek language, the New Testament, I want to sound deep to hopefully impress you, is the word doxa. And this is where we get the English translation for this great word called glory. And this word honor means glory. It means a valuing. It means a preciousness. It means significant. It means worth. It means to be favorably esteemed. It means to be held in high opinion. And I want to stop for a moment to say, you are held in God's high opinion. You are held highly esteemed by God. God values you. God has crowned you with glory and honor. God considers you to be his great delight and his portion. You are honored by God. Amen. It means to be of good reputation. It means bestowed praise, honor, and respect. We both receive honor from God, and we also add honor, add value. We distribute that to others as well in relationships. Honor recognizes the worth of another person and then embraces that person. To honor is to celebrate. How many lives would be transformed if they were just celebrated? I mean, who doesn't want to hear a good word of encouragement? You know, I thought that was a great word that my wife shared from the Holy Spirit, that some here feel hidden, unnoticed, or not included, not embraced, not seen. But God says, I see you, I know you, and I affirm you, I qualify you, and I say heaven's great delight is in you. God honors us. This is how God feels about us. And God has called us, anointed us. He commands us to also distribute honor to others as well. To be mindful, to be a blessing, to distribute, to speak words of life, to be thinking of others. It is important. And we're called to do that. And when we know and experience that sense or touch from God, that experience activates and quickens us to add value to others as well. Oftentimes when we don't feel we are honored or valued by God, it almost feels wrong or hypocritical to add value to others as well. But I pray we would know that touch of God by experience today. And I think this is a great setting for the Lord to touch us in that way today. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, if not here, where, right? If not now, when? I heard that in a movie once. How many, we've all had waves of being self-centered, and nobody here is doing that right now, but how many self-centered lives would change if we would celebrate and honor others? Boy, that gets us out of ourselves like nobody's business. To feel like you added value and encouraged somebody else. Well, what does honor look like? I like to say, after I impressed you with my Hebrew and Greek definitions and my Webster's, honor includes people. Honor notices people. Honor speaks to people. Honor returns a text. Let me wait 2 days so they know I'm in control of this conversation and I'm not really sure. Oh dear. That's third level witchcraft and control, Pastor John. That's a cleansing stream piece right there. Let's get that in there. Somebody walks in a room and you're talking with your three people, welcoming them into the conversation. They walk in. That's what honor doesn't look like. Snarky or mouthy, you know what I mean? Where people feel simply tolerated. Ugh, that is not a good feeling. I'm not trying to find out where I am in my notes. I really want that to sink in right now. Just let that sink in. With Jesus, he's sitting in a house belonging to a man named Simon, who's a wealthy Pharisee. And Jesus is with them breaking bread. And one of the Marys comes in with her ointment and begins to weep at Jesus' feet, pouring that perfume and crying on his feet, kissing his feet, drying her tears on his feet with her hair. She is honoring him. And Simon in his heart says, if he was the Son of God, or if he was truly a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is that is trying to minister to him. And Jesus begins to tell Simon, I want to tell you something. He says, well, go ahead and say it. He says, you know, she has been forgiven much. She loves much. But here's how she demonstrated it. He said, Simon, I came in the house and you didn't greet me. You didn't offer to wash my feet. And he went on to say things that Simon didn't do for Jesus, but what this woman did. And I'm going to tell you, as we think about this culture, this spirit, this heart that warms another, that fills another, that gives significance to another, it involves those kinds of touches, those kinds of things, those kinds of words, that kind of a display of love. And we're anointed to do these kinds of things. We're anointed for it. It'd make the world a better place, isn't that right? It would certainly expand the kingdom of God and the family of God in the earth today, and it would be a blessing in all of our lives. I think a lack of honor is a thief. It's a ploy of the devil to steal from us some very powerful benefits that honor in relationship brings us. Now, we're going to get to a redemptive side in a moment, but would you just say right now that honor in relationships, your personal growth in this, would be a blessing? Would you raise your hand right now? Don't keep your hand down. Make me feel very insecure right now. Please raise your hand. Okay, good. Put your hand down right now. I want to talk briefly about the connection between Jesus and honor. Number one, what do we see out of this passage? Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. And where is Jesus? In his own country, among his own people. Number one, Jesus is dishonored. Or I'll say, Jesus is not honored. It's not that his schoolmates were throwing things at him, saying bad things to him. What was not present was honor. They said, basically, we know you. It's just you. You do preach great, Jesus. We're thinking, man, you're filled with power, but it's just you. And what we see here is they treated Jesus with commonness. He was common to them. There was a familiarity about Jesus in their thinking, in their words, and in their heart. What does familiarity breed? Come on, one more time. It sure does, and it did in this case as well. Their prior knowledge of Jesus, their experience with him, their perspective of him held sway over God's design for Jesus as the Messiah and Lord to come into the world and not only preach the gospel to the Galileans, even to some of the Gentiles, but right in his hometown. God loved Nazareth. God loved Jerusalem. God loved all of these people groups. All of their geographical regions were very important to God. And so when he came to this area, Jesus was not just coming as their buddy, as their pal, as their peep, as their homie. He was coming as the Son of God. Number two, the people were then offended. They were offended with Jesus. I don't think it's a good idea to get offended with Jesus. Jesus is never the problem, right? And he doesn't come to us going, hey, it's not my problem. He doesn't come with that attitude. But the Bible is clear. Many are offended by the word. So is it possible For us at times to get offended with Jesus? Yeah, it is. It is possible. People stumbled at the word. He was considered the stumbling block, right? He was worthy of honor. And show me a person who struggles with honoring people, and then we can find people that get offended easily. I'm not saying this out of my own experience. These are things I've read in a book about others. But it does happen. But when we do not honor a person worthy of honor, it is easier to focus on their humanity, on their weakness, on their commonness, on where they are not yet renewed or transformed. Honor easily sees value in a person. Honor easily sees worth in a person, sees grace and sees anointing. But dishonor comes in and strips us of all of those virtues in our thinking and in our mind about another person. And as a consequence, all we see is what that person has yet to become, including their shortcomings. And the problem is, we're all a work in progress. And if we are only seeing through the lens of a lack of honor, we're going to be disappointed all the time because nobody is perfect yet except Jesus. And we can't just say, I honor Jesus, but I can't stand his people. To not stand his people means we can't stand Jesus because Jesus has invested himself inside of his family. So that means we all need some help. Help us, Jesus. To honor, heal us, help us, strengthen us, give us vision, help us to see you living inside of one another. And you're thinking, well, why is he preaching now about honoring people? Well, I tricked you for one. But number two is that we are welcoming him in our lives in a greater measure as we honor him. His rule in our life is expanding. But we're also honoring him as we recognize Jesus to the people that are sitting to our left and our right today. Amen? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are named by that name. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And as a result, you are his ambassador, his representative, and his member. You're representing Jesus. And how important it is, how critical it is for people to recognize the Jesus in you, that brings out the best in you, that brings out the real you that God has made you to be, and how critical it is for us to see the best in others through that virtue and anointing in favor of honor to pull out the Jesus in them, the best in them, who God made them uniquely to be in his family and in his body. Honor is important. Amen. The people were offended. Let me keep going. You know, I said this in the first service, but the people wanted their pal Jesus, but they didn't want the prophet Jesus. They wanted their friend Jesus, but not the Lord Jesus. They wanted the carpenter Jesus, but not the King Jesus. And let me just throw this in real quick. It's a little bit of a test. As soon in a relationship that you bring in order, you bring in authority, then attitudes get really funny really fast. Because none of us like to be told what to do. I'm an American. See, I'm from the Central Valley, and there's a bunch of cowboys down there. That's just kind of how it is. I get the picture here. That's why I wear a suit. And I think of my iPhone when I come here. I just think of Silicon Valley. I think of the little apple with the bite. I love it. But down there, it's like I'm a member of the NRA. I'm American. Don't tell me what to do. There's this independent side. It's like being a Christian is right next to being an American and owning a gun. It's just all connected together. But there's this independent side where all of a sudden when we're flowing in a family, where we're flowing on a job where you're not the employer, where you're flowing where you are subject to somebody else, where you're involved in a kingdom, the kingdom of God, where God has a government and there is order, all of a sudden when you're subject to somebody else or somebody's responsible to you, we can get a little uncomfortable because I don't want to be told what to do, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it, and you're going to tell me what to do because it's in God, I'm free in him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm an American. I'm a member of the NRA. Here's my card. So you bring that dimension in. I mean, we start manifesting a little bit and we just start. But in the family, honor will solve that problem. I recognize the design. Jesus ain't just my buddy. Jesus is my Lord. He didn't just take me out of hell. Jesus put heaven in me, and I'm a part of a larger picture in a larger family where I'm cooperating with a greater eternal purpose. And we're all rah-rah when it's me and Jesus, but when it's me and Jesus and Pastor John Headley and then my wife and then this person and that person, I got to answer to somebody else. Lord Jesus, help me to grow, and help me to mature. It's a corporate picture now, and it's just not here. It's all here too. Amen? Everybody say, "Ay, caramba." I'm just kidding. Don't say, "Ay, caramba." It's my half-Mexican side coming out. Number three, offense leads to unbelief. Offense leads to unbelief. Offense resulting from dishonor basically says, "I don't believe in you. I don't believe, recognize, receive the design of who you are." And that's what essentially they were saying to Jesus. "You're our buddy. You're the carpenter's son. We love you and you preach great. I don't know how you got all of your Hebrew down like this, Jesus, without, you know, getting your doctorate in theology. You're great there, but don't bring the Son of God stuff here. Don't bring lordship to me." Basically, we don't believe that side. Number four, unbelief hinders the power of God. And there's a lot of translations that says Jesus could do no mighty works among them because of their unbelief. Can you imagine Jesus not being able to do something because of somebody else? But that's the case. It didn't say he wouldn't do it. He didn't go, "Because you don't recognize who I am, I'm really mad and I'm going to show you who's boss and I'm going to teach you a lesson. Read the lineage of who my mother was and grandmother. Look at the scrolls and you'll find that." He said, "Because of that, I'm not doing any mighty works here." It was because of their unbelief. He could do no mighty works. There was another instance, because there was a lack of prayer and fasting going on, that a demon wasn't cast out. Unbelief hinders the power of God. This is a wow on the bad side of the gospel. We want to get over to this side of the gospel. We want a believing environment. And in order to have a believing environment, we got to be free from commonness. We have to be free from a spirit of familiarity. We got to be free from offense. To get free from offense, we got to cultivate this spirit of honor in our midst. Amen? Did you guys want me to preach my Joel Osteen message instead today? I'm sorry. Yes. God bless you today. I love Joel Osteen. I do. Well then, how do we align again with honor? Lord, help us then. We need grace, don't we? We need grace for change. Help us to align again. And if we're missing it anywhere, if we're off, we all have blind sides. We all do. That's why God connected us together. He connected us with a family. Holy Spirit, turn the lights on more. Give us revelation to see where we may need an adjustment in a given part of our life. Can we all agree with that? Amen. Help us, Jesus, right? Number one, let's repent for the sin of dishonor. It is that simple. It is a sin. It's dishonor. We repent of it, God. We renounce it. Forgive us. Help us to get it right. Repent, 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 because it is a sin ultimately that can lead to a lack of the power of God being demonstrated and Jesus being exalted. So we repent of it. Number two, recognize whom the Lord brings to you. Recognize whom the Lord sends in our lives. Understand the unique design for that relationship. What I mean by that is, when I met my wife, eventually it was shown to me God's design for the relationship. This, my boy, is your future wife. I'm glad, because I didn't just want a friend anointing with Kimberly Ann Rose. It's not the anointed. I just don't want a friend anointing. Lord, reveal to me. You know, when we get off track with that, how many know things like this can go wrong if you are not interpreting right God's design for the relationship? A mentor-mentee relationship is different in dynamics than an exclusive friendship relationship. How many know that matters? I teased the first service. You can't go to Disneyland with everybody. If God has brought a friend, a mutual friend in your life, enjoy the friendship. Ask God, "Show me the boundaries, the pleasant lines," Psalm 16, for that connection and that joining. Because the Lord may say, they are not built for your opening up in certain areas of your life. They are not a confidant, they're a friend. Enjoy the friendship. Go get a steak. Go watch the Giants win another World Series, okay? They're fourth in like 6 years or whatever. Enjoy it, but don't tell them about who hurt you when you were 10 years old. They are not built that way. I didn't send them in your life for that. They may become offended with your offenses. Don't be mad at them for it. Pray that they grow and develop into that for other people, but recognize it for what it is. And then when the Lord brings somebody that can be a confidant, ask the Lord for that wisdom. Then you can share with them. You can pour into them. They can handle it. Their shoulders are broad enough and they're not going to stumble at what you're stumbling at. Are you guys here today? Yeah. How do we honor in relationships? We need wisdom to recognize who the Lord sends. Not only who, but why. What is the design for the friendship? Because some here I sense there's brokenheartedness. There is misunderstanding. When we misplace expectations on relationships, it is a setup for pain. It's a setup for disappointment. It's a setup for offense. It closes us up. But I sense the Lord going, I'm going to bring healing to those things. Some of you heard earlier going, yeah, I feel like I'm like the guy yelling at the woman trying to get on the bus. Some of you are going, how could a man do that? The others are going, I always do that. I'm mad at everybody. I'm mad at the world. I love Jesus, but and then God goes, no, I know why though. There's been abuse. Some of you are going, how am I supposed to honor people when I've been dishonored? And some of you, you have been dishonored. You've been mistreated. There have been arrows. There have been words spoken, sarcasms, people shooting from the hip, saying all kinds of nutty stuff. You're like, I would never say that to another person, but people live that way. They just let it all hang out, and that's just how they are. And you're the one who's been hurt. You're the one that's been verbally abused. But I sense the Lord going, I'm going to heal you up. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to add reinforcements. I'm going to add a steel rod in the middle of your concrete foundation so it can weather, you know what I mean? Oh dear. So I can weather a fall from the stage at Gateway City Church. He gives his angels charge over me. Amen. He's going to heal you up. And then I can see how I can add honor and value to people. Because it can be a shallow word to go, hey, get healed up and just honor people. You're like going, I think you better go a little deeper. But you're in that kind of an environment here in this house at Gateway City Church with all of the great ministry that can minister deep to the core of who you are, deep into the core of your soul. God can get to the bedrock of your life, uncover, reveal, to heal, raise you up, reinforce you, and you will be a woman, you will be a man, you'll be a son and a daughter of great honor, one that is whole and well, and it becomes much easier then to honor, to overlook the transgressions of others because we're a whole vessel. Amen. You guys okay with that? All right. I got 10 more seconds here. Next, receive whom the Lord brings to you. We recognize, but take it a step further then and receive. Don't stumble at this spot because there may be some the Lord sends to you and you kind of wish maybe he'd have sent somebody else. You just kind of like, and the Lord, no, you, okay, I see the Lord doing it, but receive Jesus within that person and watch him do great things. And when you receive, when you don't feel like it from people, maybe you don't feel like receiving from, the Lord will develop a humility and a teachability within you that will last you for the rest of your life. Lord Jesus, help us to receive from anybody that you send into my life. Amen? That's that kind of teachable heart. And then fourth, reach for honor's reward. Honor has rewards. And don't apologize for it. Don't look down and don't feel bad about rewards. Hebrews 11, God says you must believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There are great eternal, natural, temporal rewards for honor. And it's worth it. If you receive a prophet, say receive. As one who speaks for God, you'll be given the same reward. Say reward.
Reward.
Oh, if you receive the righteous people because of their righteousness, you'll be given a reward like theirs. If you give a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you'll surely be rewarded, Jesus said in Matthew 10. Surely. How are we rewarded? What are some of honor's rewards? I want to say that we attract what we honor. We draw what we honor. People, circumstances, things will move in a positive way in your direction simply from honoring. Honor is also a defense. Honor is a protection. Honor is an anointing. Honor is favor. Let it draw things to you. Number one, access. Jesus said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what we say. We welcome a greater presence of Jesus in our life. Number two is virtue. There's no mighty miracles done without honor. There will be anointing, power, there will be demonstration where there's honor. Number three, resources. Honor is tied to wealth all through the scriptures. If we honor the Lord with our possessions, our barns will be filled with plenty. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Joseph honored his employer and he got blessed for it. There was a woman who recognized this man of God named Elijah that would come by their place, built and added on a house for this prophet just so he could rest there, be refreshed and enjoy God. And because of that, God blessed her with a child. There's great honor and wealth associated with resources. Number four, I'm almost done, is rest. Here we're talking about lordship and trust. What would we pay for rest? Honor when we honor the Lord with his tithe. Here to this house, when we honor the Lord with the Sabbath, the day of rest, God then begins to welcome his safety, his security, his rest upon our lives. There can be rest for our souls as we enter into a greater place of honor and lordship with him. Lastly, relationships. Elisha honored Elijah, and he got blessed with a wonderful relationship for nearly 20 years because of honor. How many would say in a real deep, holy way, relationships are just, can be so jacked up. Oh my goodness. I just feel like honor can be like this safety protection to say, the Lord going, I've got a way where there really seems to be no way. Here's where I can preserve, I can help you to recognize a place of safety in relationships, because God intended his family to be his delivery system in the earth for his kingdom that's in heaven, and relationships are taking such a brutal beating. They are so abused, they are misunderstood, they are thrashed, there's backbiting, betrayal, all kinds of smack going on. I'm telling you, it is a mess, but God says, here is a great key. Enter into a greater place of honor. So Lord Jesus, help us. May Gateway and us in Clovis, Father, this family here in San Jose, enter into this culture and into this place of honor. May it be a shield for us, God. I pray that honor would be a glory to us. Honor would even be the lifter of our head. Father, as I prayed earlier, I'm asking you, Lord God, for a powerful touch this Pentecost Sunday to do a deep work, like Pastor Chris mentioned, in our soul today. I pray for a great, fresh, brand new infilling of your Holy Spirit and of your love. Father, I pray where there has been brokenness, a tearing, where there's been a breach in the heart, where there's been a severing of relationships, Father, and it seems to be impossible, Lord, for there to be a mending, or it seems like things are so hopeless. People here do not want to go on. But Father, I'm asking for you to make the difference in Jesus' name. Father, I declare grace to every mountain, Lord God, that your people are facing today. And I pray for a creative mending work in each and every soul in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now for that great touch of doxa, that great touch of glory upon your people. Father, I pray right now for a fresh vision and fresh sight as we look upon relationships you've brought into our lives. Father, I pray for such a clarity and such a maturity, growth inside of us, that we could literally begin to see the lines of what you've intended for relationships. Help us to stay within those boundaries, Lord God, to reinforce what you've done. Father, give us wisdom and give us the tongue of the learned, that we would speak that word in due season to those that are weary. In the name of Jesus, would you just stand up on your feet right now? Do you guys receive that word today? I want to ask the altar team to come forward if you would. The prayer counselors and If you're here today and you would say, I have never made Jesus the Lord of my life, and I do not know if beyond this day I am going to heaven or not. Well, the Bible says these things were written in Scripture, that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that through believing, you would find life in His name. God wants you to know that you have eternal life. If you're here today and you'd say, I'm serving God, but I've been turned away from Him. My heart is not right. I don't even know if I'm right with God today. Perhaps you're struggling in other areas of your life, or maybe this message touched you in a particular way. I want to encourage you to take an extra step of faith following this time and come up here and allow these qualified, anointed ministers to agree with you in prayer wherever you are. The Lord knows where you're at, but just take that extra step today. I'm going to pray this prayer together with you. It's on your outline and on the screen, and then we'll send you out. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, I desire that honor flow in my life in the way you've designed it. I recognize the importance of honor and ask that you would help me to align my attitudes and motives with this quality. Forgive me for any dishonor towards you and others you brought into my life. I gladly humble myself before you. May honor bring out the very best in me and the relationships you blessed me with, in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your hands up. I just speak this over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, in Jesus' name. We love you. You're so special, so valued. I just want to welcome you. If you need prayer, come forward. You're dismissed. You're blessed. God bless you today.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.